turn back with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I appreciate Brother Ralph Adale coming to preach for you, and I appreciate you showing up to hear him. It's encouragement to him, I know. And I'm looking forward to hearing the message you brought. I heard something about it from some of you. John chapter 3. Now, as I said, this will be a two-part message. First this morning and finish up this evening. But in this third chapter of the Gospel of John, there are two doctrines or two teachings that we'll look at that are the most widely used and abused in religion today. And I speak of the new birth, or being born again, and in the second part, the love of God. These are two doctrines that are, they're much more than doctrine, but I say that, you know what I mean, I believe. But they're the most widely used, or people dwell on these things more than anything. Yet, we're going to see that they're the most widely abused in all of the scriptures. Now, other than the title of Christian, I don't know of a phrase that people like to use more than born again. Born again. People like to use that. It's the most widely used phrase I know, other than he's a Christian. And every so-called Christian claims to be born again. If you are, if you claim to follow Christ and believe him this morning, then you claim to be a born-again person. And so I want to, let me give you an illustration. Everybody likes to use this term. I worked with a fellow one time, and this is kind of like circumcision, Rick, which we were talking about. It's not something you flaunt. Rick brought that up, that circumcision is of the heart, true circumcision. And besides, real circumcision is not something you flaunt. You don't show it off, nor can you. It's hidden. You can't see it. And this thing of a true disciple is of the heart, primarily, first off. But this fellow I worked with one time, he was sitting reading the scriptures, and I walked into the little place where he was sitting and noticed what he was reading, and I just sat down and began talking to him about it. And I was really kind of questioning him if he knew, like the Ethiopian eunuch, you know. I was kind of asking him, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand? He got offensive, you know. He said, I'll have you know that I'm a born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christian. I said, oh, I didn't know. Excuse me. And I walked out, you know. But people like to use that term, don't they? I'm born again. You born again? Yeah, born again. When did you get born again? Got born again the other day? Well, I want to look at God's Word, what God's Word says about this thing. I want to look into the context of when this was used. Our Lord Himself is the one who talked about this thing of being born again. And I want to see in the context of what is being said here, I want to see what the Lord is saying. And not just grab that phrase, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, and tear off into a tirade about being born. You got to be born again, you know. Let's look through the scriptures. Let's search the scripture right here and see what he's saying about this thing. There's a great many people deceived about it. And that's what they do with the Word of God. They grab one word, grab one verse, and tear off. Well, let's look through the scriptures and search them. Now let's look here at verse 1, chapter 3 of John, the Gospel of John. There was a man of the Pharisees. Now, some of you may know what a Pharisee was, but let me remind you. A Pharisee, in this day and time, a Pharisee was the most religious, devout, separate, or separated pious, moral, upright, respected man of his day. He was the religious leader and ruler of the Jewish religion, a Pharisee. He could not get any higher than a Pharisee. A Sadducee was just a step below that. But they were very religious. Very religious. There's still some Pharisees around today. Very orthodox even. And this may apply to someone in here. They believed the doctrines. They believed in a sovereign God, Rick. Yes, they did. Pharisees believed in a sovereign God. They believed in election. Jews only. And we're going to see in the context of John 3 why Christ said John 3:16. Because they believed in election, but they were hyper. electionists. They believed only Jews only. Nobody else. Forget it. Nobody else but the Jews. But if you would ask somebody, man at his best state, the best a man could be, was a Pharisee. The best a man can be. And even so, today, the best a man can be, the most noted and respected people in the community are Christians, right? And a preacher at that. Many and I have been very amazed at the respect that this small town has for, quote, preachers. It's not that way where we came from, the big city. I was from the big city. Compared to this, it is. But, you know, just not the respect that there is in this little town. People, if you're a preacher, everybody reverend this, reverend want to give you a break, a discount here and that. And I don't like to be associated with that. But nevertheless, a Pharisee was a moral, religious, respected, honored, and reverend doctor. If they were alive today, and they are, they'd be called Dr. Reverend so-and-so. They were religious, and this man Nicodemus was very religious and respected. But he was lost. He didn't know Christ. He didn't know God. And there may be a Pharisee in here. Different sorts of Pharisees. Takes different forms. You don't have to wear the robe. You can just feel like you're one, and you can just be a Pharisee in the mind and in the heart. So this fellow named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, verse 2, he came to Jesus Christ by night. He came to him secretly at night. He was ashamed to be seen with Christ. He was ashamed to be seen with him. He didn't want to be associated with what he was saying, with this gospel. Besides, the Pharisees from the very beginning wanted Christ dead. Every one of them. And Nicodemus was maybe a little more charitable. But at any rate, he was a curious sort of fella. And he came to Christ at nighttime to ask him some questions. Look at what he says here. He came at nighttime, snuck in there, nobody had seen him. And that may apply to somebody here. You wouldn't much want your friends to know that you're in church or what you believe. Wouldn't know what it might cause a fuss, might cause a fight. But he came by night and said unto Christ, Teacher, Rabbi, we know, you never notice how Pharisees and self-righteous people talk in the general sense. Yes, we are sinners, aren't we? No, a sinner doesn't talk in general terms. We are sinners. We know, and this is the sense in which he's talking, we know that thou art... He didn't want to admit it himself. He didn't want to commit himself. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God. And he probably said, God be with him. That's how everybody pronounces it. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And what he was doing, now I'm not trying to be hard on old Nicodemus here, I really not. I'm not trying to be hard on him at all. But he was just like many people today. He was religious, but he was lost. But he was curiously interested in religion. Curiously interested in things like miracles and prophecies. But he was ignorant of the one thing needful. That's what my pastor preached on down in Georgia. One thing. One thing. One thing. He was ignorant of that one thing. But he said this, and this was his conception of a true man of God. You do miracles. You must be from God. And then what people believe today? If a man's got some talents, if he looks pretty good, if he talks pretty good, they're licensed to preach. 14, 15, 16-year-old boy. He doesn't know the gospel from a hole in the ground. License him to preach. And anybody that comes down the pike, anybody and his sister or mother, my soul. But miracles, this man, his conception of a man of God was that he did miracles. He performed miracles. He had the ability and so forth. But miracles don't establish God's true sense. Men, you remember how the Egyptians back in before Moses, they cast down their rods and so forth and did many miracles. They counterfeited the miracles of that God wrought through Moses. And the Antichrist, the Scripture says, the Antichrist will come bringing miracles. And besides, most prophets in the Old Testament didn't do any miracles. I don't see anywhere where many of the prophets did any miracles at all. John the Baptist did no miracles. None whatsoever. Well, how do you know a true man sent from God? Let's look at this for just a second. How do you know a true God-sent man? Nicodemus thought his miracles are not much like people think today. It's not miracles. It's not abilities. It's not even character. To the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, if they speak not according to my word, I didn't send them, God said. If they're not speaking according to God's word, God's true gospel, they're not sent from God. God didn't send them. I didn't send them. He said in Jeremiah 23 several times that these false prophets think to make my people forget me by their dreams and by their miracles and this and that and the other. But he has a dream. Let him tell his little dream. What's chaff to the wheat, he said. But he that has my word, my prophet, you go just speak the word. Speak it and go on. Go on. If they won't have it, shake the dust off your feet. It's the word. It's the word. The Scripture says, try the spirits. How? How do you try preachers? Brother Ralph came up here. How do you know if he's a true preacher of God? By what he's saying. By what he's saying. By searching the Scriptures to see if the things that he said are so from God's word. And that's what we tell everybody that comes in here. Don't just believe what we're saying because, you know, it sounds good because we've got the Bible open. Go home and search through the Scriptures and see if what we're saying is so. So, do it. We've got nothing to hide here. We want people to do that. If people are looking for the truth, and they'll go home and get with their Bibles and listen to the gospel and go home and get in their Bible and ask God, God, show me, is this the truth? I want to know the truth. I want to know Christ. Would you teach me? He'll teach that man. Yes, ma'am. He'll teach that man or that woman. He will. He'll not. His sheep will hear his voice. And the Scriptures say, if there come one unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, the gospel, don't receive it. Don't receive it. And if I bring any other doctrine, preach any other gospel, don't have me either. Now listen, look at this. Nicodemus said, teacher, this is how he addressed Christ. Let me just note this. You don't come to Christ, first of all, calling him teacher. You don't come to him in this way. Come to him calling him teacher. You come before him and bow. And this is the reason Christ is belittling him. You're going to see he belittles this man. Everything he says, he answers it with his own words and belittles him. I used to think that he spoke very tenderly and compassionately with him. But I don't necessarily think that's the case, because up in verse 10, he kind of belittled his position. You a teacher? Well, Nicodemus, the only thing he was interested in, and maybe somebody in here is the same way, that all you're interested in is being a good Christian and joining up with a good church and learning some things from the Bible and having a place to go to church. learning something from a teacher. Well, Paul said to young Timothy, there's some people that are ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? Christ said, I'm the truth. Didn't it? I'm the way and the truth. There's some people ever learning, going through the Scriptures, going through prophecy, this and that and the other, never coming to a knowledge of Christ, knowing Him. Now they know some Scriptures, quote some Scriptures, but they don't see it as a hymn book, as we like to say. That the Scriptures are they which testify of Christ. If you see that, if you see that this whole book is tuned to middle C, to you all. Christ, the whole book, centers and revolves around this man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Savior, our Lord, Jesus Christ. It'll open up all the Scriptures to you. But old Nicodemus, he was interested in miracles, and he probably had endless questions for the Lord, but the Lord didn't allow him to ask one more question. And we do well in the presence of people when they come to us. Martin Luther brought this out. When they come to us wanting to ask, well, what do you all, how do you conduct your services? Or how many you got? How many you running? Scott said, like cattle. How many y'all running in Sunday school? Do you have a choir?
Get to the heart. Get to the point. This is what Christ said. He cut him off immediately.
That's endless questions. And before long, you're taking up explaining what we don't do, and this and that and the other, and you never get around to the gospel. Well, Christ said, look at it. Nicodemus said, we know you're a teacher come from God, and that you do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily.
Truly, truly.
Of a truth. You best listen to what I'm about to say. That's what he means by saying that. Truly. Truly. Of a truth. I say unto you. And you know, like I said a moment ago, anybody that's interested in the truth and not just playing games with religion, it's not just curious about religion. Anybody that's really wanting to know the truth, they'll know the truth. Yes, they will. They'll know the truth. There's a scripture that says, I thought I wrote it down. I guess I didn't. But it says, if any man will know the will of God, he'll know the doctrine, whether or not it'll be of God or not. He'll know. Anybody really wants to know God, the true and living God? And I just don't see many folks. Do you? Y'all run into many folks at work and your neighbors and all. It's really interesting. When is the last time you had somebody come up to you and say something like, what about sin? What about this thing of sin? What about God? What's God really like? Or who is Jesus Christ? Salvation. Vital question. Righteous. What is righteousness? I see that word. What is justification? Propitiation. I see this word propitiation. What does that mean? People aren't concerned with these things. I'm concerned with the truth. But endless questions. Don't amount to hell of being. But Christ got to the point. And as I say, if any man wants to know the truth, the true and living God, God will reveal it to him. But Christ says, of a truth, Nicodemus, of a truth, I say unto you. And if he knew who was speaking to him, boy, he'd have perked up his ears. But he didn't know. His eyes were beholden and are blinded. He couldn't know him. Just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know who he was talking to. Teacher. Oh, if he'd have knew whose presence he was in, he'd been on his face crawling. Lord. Lord, like Moses. Was it Abraham? Oh, I've taken it upon me to speak, but I'll cover my mouth. Once have I spoken, yea, twice. Oh, teacher, I've got a question for you. Christ said, truly, I say unto thee, verse 3, you ought to know where this verse is, John 3:3, except a man be born again, or a woman, she cannot see the kingdom of God. That word see there means understand. He doesn't mean that you cannot, you're not going to get into heaven to see heaven. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, except a man be born from above, he cannot understand, he cannot enter into the things of God, cannot enter in and understand the gospel. Except the Holy Spirit give birth to this person. And let's get into this. Nicodemus was like so many people. He was religious, and he had his profession, probably like that Pharisee in the temple, Terry. I thank God that I tithe and this and that and the other. I'm not as other men. I'm moral. He was religious, moral, but lost.
Didn't know Christ. That's salvation, to know Christ.
To know the true and living God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. He knew the Bible. Pharisees knew the Bible, John. They could quote vast portions of the Scripture. That was a requirement for a Pharisee. Quote vast portions of the law of God. Quote it. And I know men today that can quote the Scripture. But they don't bring Christ out in their messages. There's a man called the Living Bible. Can quote the Scriptures right and left. Christ's not the center of his ministry. But he knew some Bible and he knew some doctrine. Maybe somebody in here knows some doctrine, knows some Bible, knows what they believe. But salvation ain't a what. Salvation is having Jesus Christ revealed to your heart. To your heart. It's the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit placing Christ in you. Paul, I'll quote this over and over and over again all the time. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ be in you, except you be reprobate, that is, void of any judgment or any understanding whatsoever? Don't you know your own selves? Salvation is, and we'll get into this in a minute. What does it mean to be born again? Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot understand, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, the gospel, understand these things. Well, our Lord was using the clearest illustration, earthly illustration, that he could possibly use to show the sovereignty of God in salvation. This reveals, this is amazing, how that men misconstrue the clearest illustration of God's sovereignty in the Bible and turn it right around to mean what it doesn't mean. This is how blind religious people are. They can't understand. Completely misconstrued. Look at verse 4. Now Christ said, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see a number right in front of again, and you have a reference in your center reference. It was above. The word is the same. Look over at verse 31. He that cometh from above, you see that word? It's the exact same word. I don't know why the English translators put again in there. I don't know why. But it doesn't belong there. It's from above. And you have that in your center reference if you have one. Except a man be born from above, he cannot see, understand, know the kingdom of God, God's gospel, the things of God. He cannot. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? I don't think he was really, I don't think that he was wanting to know the truth here. I think he was saying a little bit sarcastically, because look here, what he's saying. Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, come on, Nicodemus. What a foolish question. You know better than that. He's bound to have been saying this sarcastically. How can a man be born again? Or how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb when he's old? I don't understand that. That doesn't make good sense. Nicodemus had two problems, and people got these same problems today. He had two mistakes, two problems. He didn't listen to what Christ said. Christ said, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Can he? Can he do this? Can he do that? Can he? You see, the carnal mind, the natural man, is enmity against God. He's enmity. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. It's foolishness to him. Right? Nicodemus, it's foolishness. Born again stuff. This is crazy. Foolishness. Neither can he know them. Why? They're spiritually discerned. Nicodemus had not had his mind worked on by God's Holy Spirit. Can he? Can he do this? He was trying to carnally reason what is spiritual. Look over at John chapter 6 with me. John chapter 6, verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. And I just have a feeling that somebody in here like this. So I tell you, we need to listen up here. John 6, verse 63. Christ said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you are spirit, and they are life." Everything I tell you, Christ said, has a spiritual connotation, spiritual understanding. And you need to get to the heart of what I'm saying, the spiritual matter. God is spirit. God is spirit. And they that will worship God must worship Him in spirit. That is, with the understanding, with the spirit. God is not worshipped with men's hands. God is not understood with men's heads. God is spirit. And they that worship God and understand God and will see and know the things of God must understand Him with the Spirit. How do you do that? The Spirit of God must give it. Spirit, and you'll see that here in a moment. But God is a spirit. Back to old Nicodemus here in chapter 3 of John. And just like folks today, he thought that coming to God or salvation was something you do. Something you do. Now, even after hearing God speak, even after hearing Jesus Christ Himself speak, they still misinterpreted it. And like I said, people take this very scripture and turn it around, twist it to mean exactly the opposite of what it's saying. Got to get born again. Oh, so-and-so got born again. What they mean is so-and-so walked down the aisle, accepted Jesus, got baptized, and got right with God, made his peace with God, got born again. He made his decision for Jesus. Here, we're going to see here. Look at it. Verse 4. Can he enter the second time? Can he do this? Can he do that? Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, of a truth." Now, if you listen to me, I'll tell you something. Truly, truly, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. I told you the first time from above. You didn't pay attention to what I said. Now listen. Of water and of the Spirit, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's not getting in. Born from above. Born of the Spirit. Salvation is something done to you. Not something you do. Salvation is God deciding to have you, give birth to you, not you deciding to have God. Salvation is God working on and in you, not you working for God. Salvation is altogether a work outside of ourselves. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. God is life, and only God can give life. But men, you know, men still cannot create life in and of itself. By genetics or whatever. They've been trying for a long time and never will. And they cannot create spiritual life either. They've been trying for a long time and never will create spiritual life. But unless the Holy Spirit of God descends upon a man and supernaturally imparts spiritual life to that man or that woman or that young person, they will remain dead in trespasses and sin. Unless God's Holy Spirit decides to up and work. And we'll see that here in a moment. And if you... listen. If you are still unchanged by the gospel, you believe it in your head, but you're unchanged, you're not a new creature. Unchanged, if you're unmoved, if it doesn't, you know, people sit under the sound of the gospel for years and don't apparently have no effect. You're unmoved, if you're undecided about where you stand, I don't know, I'm confused here. I don't know, do they say this down here, undecided? Your problem is probably no new birth. I'll be very frank with you. That's probably the problem. Because he says, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now listen to this. Water. What's he talking about? The water. Water. Look over at John chapter 4, verse 10. Water. And it can't mean baptism. It cannot mean baptism. And like I said this morning, whole denominations believe in that you baptize and you're saved if you're baptized. Boy, if that's the truth, I'd be double saved. I'd be baptized twice.
Like I said, used to swim in the baptistry when I was a kid. That doesn't save you. That won't wash with the scriptures.
Baptism. What is this water he's talking about?
Water.
Well, look here in John chapter 4, verse 10. He said to this woman at the well, he said, answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
Water.
Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Never. Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. What's he talking about? Well, look over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. He's talking about the Word of God. The water of God's Word. The Word of God. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5. Someone said, overheard someone say he didn't see the importance of coming to church all the time and being under the sound of the gospel and so forth. Well, do you take a bath? Do you take a bath every day? Do you want your children to eat the proper foods? Do you do what's right for your body? Well, the water of God's Word is a necessity every day. We need to drink of it. His manna and his water, or else we'll get some terrible affliction and problems, and we won't grow. This is the means that God has chosen for us to grow thereby. Other people who are sitting under the sound of the gospel are growing daily. It's kind of like, I didn't mean to get off on this, but it's necessary. Kind of like building a building. Say if I start building that house and it's built. Building a building, you build one brick at a time, one stick of wood at a time, don't you? You don't, Rick, you don't grab 10 two-by-fours in your arm, do you, and stick them up there and try to nail them all? No, one at a time. One at a time. One brick at a time. And this thing of being built up in our most holy faith is one gospel message at a time. One feeding at a time. And you miss one. You miss two. I mean, this thing takes a lifetime to understand anything, doesn't it? Some of you folks have been hearing the gospel. You feel like you've been hearing it for 10 or 15 years, and you feel now like you don't know much at all. 5 years ago, you didn't know. You knew less. 8 years ago, you knew even less, maybe nothing. But now you feel like you don't know anything, and you miss one meal, 2 meals, 3 meals.
This building ain't never going to be built. Forget it. One brick. That's what's going on with me in this house. I'm trying to, Monday, one day a week, I'm trying to build a house. Can't be done. Can't be done.
But the water of God's Word, look at Ephesians 5, verse 26 with me. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
I hope our fellows hadn't forgot that. I hope I hadn't forgot that message. Love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, set it apart, cleanse it with what? The washing of water by the Word. By the Word. The Word of God is the water of life. He says over and over in the Scripture, of his own will begat he us with the Word of truth, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He said over in Psalm 23, he leads me beside the still waters. And immediately after that it says, he restores my soul. And you know, when you come under the sound of the gospel and hear the gospel preached, after a long dry, in this wilderness of this world, a long dry week, you're thirsty, you're hungry for the gospel, and you come in and you get a good drink of the gospel, and it refreshes you, it restores your soul. And enables you to go right back out there again. Restores your soul. He leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. So the water is the Word. Back to the text.
the water. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, quickly.
A new birth is of God. That's what he said to begin with. Born from above. The new birth is of God. The new birth is by the Word of God, by the Gospel of God. And as I said a moment ago, please listen to me. As I said a moment ago, if you've got problems, you don't understand, there hasn't rightly been a change, or you're unmoved, you're confused, this and that and the other, the problem is God hadn't yet moved upon your heart. And you need this new birth. And how he does it is by taking his word, that is the gospel I'm preaching, the gospel I'm preaching, the word of God. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, he said there in 1 Corinthians. It's to take the gospel of Christ and wash away all false notions, wash them away, cleanse our hearts and our minds from dead works to serve the living God. It's to take the word of God and show us God in his person. Show us and our true character. Show us this holy God and show us our sinful nature and self. And to bring us into repentance and conviction of sin over how we've rebelled against this holy God. And to show us and point us to Christ, our only hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ, how that he came down here and established as a man a righteousness that God will accept. And imputed that or gave it to some people. Maybe you. I don't know. And he took on himself the sin that God was going to charge us with. And punished and killed his son in our stead. That gospel. And you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear that outside of the preaching of the word. And it's God's Spirit that must apply that. Salvation is God choosing whom he will save. Doing what's necessary to secure our salvation, sending Christ to live and establish righteousness and shed his blood and justify us. And the new birth here he's talking about. The new birth is God taking this gospel, this seed of God's word, the story of the gospel, and plowing up these hearts, plowing them up, breaking them up, softening this hard heart with sin, and planting faith. It's seed faith, all right, but not like men like to call it today, sending them $5, seed faith. But planting the seed of faith in the Son of God, not in yourself. We're the circumcision, the true circumcision. Worship this true and living God and rejoice in this true and living Christ and put no confidence in the flesh. And you're not going to hear that except God's Holy Spirit work upon you and move upon you. And he creates a new heart and a new attitude, a new spirit, a new life, a new person. Christ in you. The Spirit of Christ. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. A new person, a new creation. And Christ said, look at it. He said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Now listen, if his word has no place in your heart right now, if his word has no place in you, then you have no place in heaven. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking this. Because, look at verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's flesh. And that which is born of the Holy Spirit, capital S, is spirit. Now listen. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That is sinful. This old flesh ain't going to be nothing but flesh. Sinful, it's always going to be enmity against God. It's a law that wars in your member against God. Tugging, pulling. It's dead to the things of God. It loves the flesh. It's blind. Cannot see, understand the things of God. It's carnal, it's worldly, and fleshly religion is the same thing, carnal religion. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now listen, the new birth is God forming Christ in somebody. It's not understanding in your head some doctrine, not being a Calvinist, that's not the new birth. It's Christ being formed in you. It's the impartation
or the implanting of a new person and a new nature in somebody, a new attitude. Listen to this.
The fundamental law of the Scripture. You remember back when the Lord created this world? It said He created this after its kind, this after its kind, after His kind, after His kind. Everything was created after His kind. Well, flesh is only going to be flesh, both here and forever. Only going to be flesh. And to inhabit eternity, we must be made spirit. Must be born anew, a spiritual being, a new person. We must be predestined by God Almighty to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ Himself, who is spirit in flesh. And every born-again person has two natures. Anybody that denies it has not truly experienced a new birth. Two natures. And I'd venture to say if you don't have these problems, there's not the new man within you. Two natures. One that loves sin and hates righteousness. And this new man in Christ that hates sin and loves righteousness. New person. New person. And listen, along these lines of importance of hearing the gospel preached.
It's only the grace of God that can subdue this old man in us. Only the grace of God that can subdue it. And only the Word of God can feed the new nature. It's the only thing the new nature feeds upon is the Word of God. Now listen, and I'll not keep you much longer. Verse 7, look at it. Christ said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Evidently, old Nicodemus was bewildered by this time, as may somebody can hear better. He was evidently confused and wide-eyed and couldn't understand this thing. Christ said, "Don't be confused. You shouldn't be so confused and so perplexed by something that should be obvious, that God's God and He has to decide who to be saved. It ought to be obvious. You must be born from above. To go, God's a spirit. You believe that much. God's a spirit. It ought to be obvious that man is dead in sin and that Christ is Lord and that He alone can save. It ought to be obvious. So why all the confusion?" That's what I say to this generation. Why all the confusion over God's Word? Seems like men just open their eyes and see what He's saying here, don't they? No. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal this. They can look right at it and not understand it. But He says here, well, this is the reason. Verse 8, "The wind," that's the Holy Spirit, "bloweth where it listeth. And you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. And so is everyone that's born of the Spirit." We know that nobody knows who, when, or how the means that the Holy Spirit's going to use, except the gospel. The gospel. We know the gospel saves, but we don't know when. We don't know when or upon whom that the Holy Spirit's going to apply this gospel. That's what I say. There's people in here right now that have been hearing this gospel for a number of years. And people can hear the gospel for many years and be unmoved. The Holy Spirit must come. And that's what we pray for. God will send His Spirit. We pray for that every time we pray. God, send Your Spirit. Move. Move upon somebody's heart. Take the Word and pierce somebody's heart. Pierce them. Create a new person. Spark. There was a time for anybody in here that has truly been born from above. There was a time when, Rick and I were talking about this. There was a time when you didn't care for the things of God and you just didn't care for the things of God. But there was a day when it was just like a light being turned on. Like a light being turned on. And this gospel, many of you may have rejected this gospel. But there was a day, there was a time when the light snapped on. And it's like, I see, I understand. I hear that. I believe that. That's right. That's right. That was the Holy Spirit working and moving. And that must take place in everybody. It must create a new individual, a new person. A new person within, not just with the head. I was a young man, I say this over and over again, but my soul, I knew the doctrine, but I didn't know Christ, and I was fooling myself for thinking I did. This thing is a new birth. from above, a new creation, having Christ formed into you, in you, where that your whole being, your person, your attitude, your heart, your spirit, your desires, your wants, your will, everything is geared and centered in Christ and this salvation experience. Yes, it is an experience where everything of your being wants to be like Christ, wants to know Him. Oh, that I may win Christ. If that is not within you, you haven't experienced the Spirit of God working in you. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I may know Him. To know the love of Christ. That's the work of the Spirit. To take the things of Christ and show them unto you. Show them your desperate need of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And don't fool yourself into thinking that you're a Christian or born again because you understand some facts. That's not it. That's not it at all. Although faith work seems to come after some knowledge. But no, I'll take that back. There is some knowledge involved. But there's we're going to see tonight how that this thing of faith, receiving the Word as a little child, really must come first. And then God opens the Scriptures to you. But all of the Word of God must be received as a little child. All of it. And what I'm saying right now, what Christ said here and what I'm reiterating, is that this thing is a birth from above. And unless you experience that, you're like this Nicodemus. You're religious but lost. That's how serious this thing is. And I hadn't had any liberty this morning, but this thing is very serious. It's not knowing some things. It's having a person revealed in your heart. This is salvation. And you say, I don't understand what this is talking about. That's just the point I'm trying to make. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, it hadn't taken place yet. So you need to be praying, God, move, work. Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, create in this old heart a heart of love for Jesus Christ, for God. And that's what Nicodemus said. How can these things be, verse 9? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. Is anybody in here saying that? And Christ said to him, and we'll go into the rest of this tonight, but Christ said, are you a teacher? And you don't know these things? And I say to you, are you a Christian? A disciple of Christ? That's what a Christian is. A follower of Christ. You mean to tell me somebody is a follower and a lover of Jesus Christ don't want to go hear about Him? Doesn't desire and taken up with hearing about Him and learning about Him and at every opportunity wanting to hear Him extolled and exclaimed and preached and love with Him, love the things of God, loves the Word of God? Come on. Christianity is discipleship. It's following a person. It's being in love with a person. That's what it is. That's what Christ said. Are you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? And, are we a Calvinist and don't know these things?
Yes, could be, couldn't it? That God's Spirit must move. Must move.
Anyone truly interested, I say this though, anyone truly interested, I wouldn't dare blaspheme and tell you how be born again. Write me now. Y'all, after this message, you write me and I'll send you a book, tell you how to be born again. He just said the Spirit blows where it listeth. You don't know when or what or how it's going to work. No, through the gospel. I do know this much based upon the Scripture. If you're going to be saved, it's going to be under the sound of this gospel. And you ain't going to be saved unless you under the sound of this gospel. That's how important this hearing of this gospel is. Say, I don't believe that. I didn't say it. Anyone truly interested how to be born again? Well, it's up to the Spirit, but He uses the means of the preaching of this Word, this gospel. So I say, as best advice, I'm not coming down on anybody, and I'm beseeching you. I'm practically pleading and begging with people. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord would persuade men to get in or get out. Follow Christ get out of the way. Get under the sound of the gospel. Stay there and ask God to
send His Spirit to teach you Christ, reveal Christ to your heart. Come open, come naked. Take your clothes off, come naked before God and say, teach me. I thought I'm a good Christian, but I thought I knew something, but I don't know Christ. I want to know Christ. And if you come in that way, based upon God's Word and His promises, He'll reveal Christ to you in His good time. It might not come like that. It might not come like that, but it'll come in His good time. And then, you'll know what I'm talking about, or who I'm talking about. You'll know, as the Scripture says, even as you have been known. This is what I'm trying to say, folks. Say it to me, too. God knows our hearts. This is the problem with modern-day religion, the problem with Nicodemus, taking up with this and that and the other and interest in it. One thing is needful, that we know the true and living God in Jesus Christ and follow Him and walk and trust Him, love Him, and know that He loves us. God knows our hearts. We need to get absolutely sincere and serious about this thing, else it's not going to come. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's serious. It's our eternal souls are at stake. A whole lot more than involved in this thing and just playing games. I don't want to play games. How about you? Now let's pray for one another. Pray for our children. Pray for our parents. Pray for ourselves that God will reveal the truth to us. God's Holy Spirit will reveal Christ to our hearts. And not be like old Nicodemus here. So stand with me and I'll dismiss this in prayer.